All right, grab your Bibles. We're in Leviticus chapter 6 this morning. Leviticus chapter 6. Thank you for that public service announcement we just had. Leviticus chapter 6, and we have been going through the beginning of the book of Leviticus and covering these five offerings that God has laid out through Moses. And remember the book of Levi, the book of Leviticus, it is what is expected of the priests. And we understand that the book of Revelation talks about that God has made us to be priests. And we talked about all these wonderful things that God has pictured. So, he gave us a list the first time up until chapter 6, verse 7. And we've gone through all five offerings. Today, and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at the same offerings listed again. Okay? Because God considered them so important that he listed them two different times. Okay? And we know we talked already before about that the list is a different order, and there's a reason for that. The same reason, and again we mentioned this when we brought it up, the same reason that when the tabernacle is constructed, it's listed twice. Once from looking from the holiest of all out toward the people, once looking from the brazen altar in toward the holiest of all. And it's the different approach. One is man's approach to God, one is God as he reaches out to man. Well, we have that same instance here with these offerings. The first ones we've studied is how God and how often do we picture that the Lord Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of every one of these offerings, because that is how God used these offerings to picture how he put his hand out toward us. Now we're going to look at it, how we respond with those offerings in reaching back to God. And if it's hard to get your head wrapped around, remember this verse. We love him because he first loved us. Okay, the only reason we're able to reach out to God is because he first reached out to us. And both the tabernacle and how it's constructed and these offerings and how they're listed show us that. That God first shows us how what he has done to reach out to us. And then he gives us the opportunity to respond to how he would reach out to us with the same structure in the tabernacle or the same offerings here in Leviticus. So that's what will be coming up. So we are going to be looking this morning at the second time that God mentions the burnt offering. All right, does that make sense with everyone? So in chapter 1, we talked about it, that this burnt offering is that total consecration toward God, that we are completely given over to him. Okay, we're surrendered. We talk about it as a total burning. Okay, nothing is left. It is that living sacrifice. The word that puts a very vivid image in our mind is that word Holocaust. Okay, and we know its name because of all those furnaces that just burned hundreds and hundreds of thousands of bodies, just burnt them up to ashes. That's the vivid picture we get, that this is a complete and total burning. And that comes into play so much this morning. That's why I wanted to rehearse that. Remember, it's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. He came and completely and 100% gave his life for you and me. We talked about the fact that it is a sweet savor offering, okay, that it is something that God loves. When you and I give our lives totally, completely, and we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, God loves that. He also took great pleasure in the sacrifice of Jesus. It's kind of hard, kind of a catch-22, right? Paradox, that the Son of God himself had to die on the cross, but it pleased God to bruise him and do that for us. Okay, and it's also voluntary, that we don't have to do it. I would say I've known a lot of Christians who haven't totally consecrated their life to the Lord. I'll back that off and say I know times in my own life, I'll put it on me, that I haven't totally consecrated myself to the Lord. That there are times, and it may happen again. How many? Come on. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass you. But that there are days where all of a sudden we realize maybe for the last few days we've been living for self and haven't been considering the Lord. Okay, it's an active pursuit, and we'll see that again today. Okay, so, but understand something. In much as it's a free will, voluntary offering, Jesus Christ did it of his own free will too. He didn't have to come, but he did it because he loves us. And that's the same picture. These things that we're doing, this service for the Lord, is not because we have to, but because we want to, because we love him. All right, so all these things are coming into play here. So we're going to look at further instructions about this offering today. All right, so with that in mind, if you'll go to chapter 6 and starting in verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night to the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garments, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put upon other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp to a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. And the fire shall be ever burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving us more instruction, especially as this pertains to us individually, about this burnt offering. Father, I thank you. We just mentioned it, that Lord Jesus Christ did not have to come. He did it of his own free will. Father, it was voluntary. It was a total sacrifice completely. His entire life, Lord, his blood was shed for us. And Father, that's what you ask. That's why it's a sweet savor to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a sweet savor that we can offer you. We can totally consecrate our lives, a living sacrifice every day. And Father, thank you for that. So Lord, help us as we have a little understanding here, a little bit more insight into what you have for us. And Lord, how we can continue to be passionate about our walk in this world and our faith. So Father, be with my mind. Lord, help me to share those things which are pertinent. And Lord, I thank you that I am not the teacher, that your word is true and your Holy Spirit nudges each one of our hearts with what we need. Lord, help us to take that and leave changed, make adjustments, be better today than we were yesterday. So, Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I hope you saw it on here. What did you notice about reading this verse? Okay, is all about the fire and the fire never going out. Do you see it? Three different times in this verse. Okay, it's going to burn all night long, and you're going to put wood on it in the morning, and you're never going to put it out, and the fire is going to continue to burn all the time. Now, let me drop a word on you that you probably heard. It was a little bit more Christianese in a few decades ago. But how many of you ever heard about being burnt out? Okay. Well, this is an amazing passage on how not to be burnt out. Okay. Because God says the importance, the focus in this passage, in this burnt offering, is that this fire should continue. It should never be burnt out. So he gives us a few insights into that when we look to this passage on, okay, how then do you not be burnt out? Anybody of you ever been burnt out? Okay. Now, I want to qualify, okay? The Lord Jesus Christ, and we just talked about this in Sunday school, so I was in the back going, amen, that there were times where Jesus took his disciples and went to the wilderness or went to a private place to gather himself, to get some rest and things, but it wasn't a burnout. The Lord Jesus Christ never burned out. This burning out doesn't necessarily mean getting tired or exhausted or having a problem with your flesh. You're getting sick. It means that you don't have the energy to live out your service for God anymore. Okay, remember what the verse says that reminds us in Galatians not to be weary in well-doing. Okay, we will get weary, right? But we should never get so weary that we say, God, I'm done. That's it. I'm not talking about you anymore. I'm not reading your Bible anymore. I'm not going to pray anymore. Okay, there's a difference between being tired and needing to be rested, needing to get over being ill or something, and being burnt out in your faith where you're just done trying. Okay, so this is the difference. I have been tired this last week. Okay? But there's a difference between being tired of because our flesh is weak versus being done with serving God because I'm just burnt out. Okay? And so that's the qualification. Jesus many times went to the wilderness to pray. He took his disciples and they went and got refreshed somewhere. Okay, nothing wrong with that. Okay, so please don't think, man, I got to keep pounding and pounding this body until I die early because I got nothing left. No, we're talking about being burnt out in your service for the Lord, that you just never want to quit that part. And this is where this plays in, this total consecration of your and my life, this total surrender keeps us from being burned out. Okay, and there's some neat points I want to look at here. Number one, it needs to be burning all night until the morning. Okay, all night until the morning. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a perfect time for this for me because we're in that time where now I have to stoke my wood stove and make sure there's enough wood in it so that at first thing in the morning when it's cold in the house and everything, then I don't have to get down there and I'm hungry and the dogs want to get let out and everything and I'm striking matches trying to get the fire lit back up again, right? That's the worst thing, is to get up in the morning and have the fire have gone out. And you have to, first thing in the morning, get that thing going again to get the house warm. Okay, I like to get it set up just so when I get up in the morning that there's just enough embers in that fire. All you have to do is add a few more pieces of wood and it kicks right back on, right? Anybody else burn wood that know what I'm talking about? I know Dan does. Some of you are like, I turn on the little dial on the wall and heat comes from everywhere. So... okay, we're talking about, this idea. This is exactly what we're talking about. Well, please remember, as we are totally consecrated to the Lord, my Bible says that there's a special crown set aside for those who love his appearing. Okay, part of this being totally consecrated to the Lord. The old phrase, the old song, hold on my child. Joy comes in the morning, right? Biblically, right now, we are in a place that the Bible defines as night. But someday, according to Malachi, the sun of righteousness will rise. And over in the scripture, when Jesus comes again, that's when he talks about him rising from the east. Okay? Morning is coming. Okay, that morning that the Bible talks about in that doctrinal sense is Jesus Christ's second coming. Okay, our job is we're going through the night. How many times did the Bible say that? Don't walk as children of the darkness. You're children of light. The Son of God come. He's coming. Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. Once that sun rises, how many times have we talked about the dark? It's darkest before dawn. Okay, this picture that goes out through the Word of God is right now we are in the nighttime until Jesus Christ comes and it's morning. So guys, one of the ways we can remind ourselves how to keep from getting burnt out is remember that the morning is coming real soon. Jesus Christ is going to come and he is going to establish his kingdom, that Son of Righteousness. And God, Dan referenced it again this morning. We're talking about it on Wednesday nights when Jesus comes again. Amen. And Matt sang some great songs this morning about that point in which we arrive into that heavenly kingdom. That'll keep you going, right? Amen. Thank you, Diane. It's keeping one of us going. All right. Remember that this isn't my home. And this nighttime and all the stuff that's going on right now, which makes you shake your head. Okay. And we can make a pit stop and talk about it for the next 30, days about everything that's going on in the world and the craziness. But you know what? I don't belong here. Dan said it this morning. That I'm a part of a different kingdom. I have a different king. None of these kingdoms on this earth are where I belong. Amen. When you keep that in your mind, that the dawn is coming. The dawn is coming. That fire is burning out. But don't worry, the dawn's coming real soon. All right? So that's one of the first things. A couple verses I'd like to just look at, just to remind ourselves of this. Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. His anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. The Lord Jesus is coming. 2 Peter is another one that reminds us of this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well to take heed, as a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in our hearts. Okay, Jesus is coming again. The dawn will be coming. It will no longer be night. So keep that in your mind, please. Number two is what'll keep you from burning out is put on new clothes. Do you notice it? The Bible says these priests need to put on linen. Now again, Wednesday night Bible, guys, we've talked about this numerous times already. The picture of linen in God's word is the righteousness that you and I have because of having the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. If you want the actual solid verse that talks about Revelation 19, where God makes this absolutely clear, Revelation 19, verse 8, he said, to her was granted that her is the church, okay, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Okay, so God makes it very clear. When he is using linen in the scripture, he's trying to present the idea of our clean and white garments. Now, how do you get clean and white garments? Okay, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Okay, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we talked about this almost every week for the last month. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Okay? Our garments need to be clean. You want to not have your fire burned out? Change your clothes. And you all know what I mean, right? Ephesians, Colossians, put off that old man and the works of the flesh and put on the new, which is in righteousness before God. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I don't want to misquote that. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to stay on point, but I also want to make sure we're seeing this right in God's word, not just quotes, because I'm messing them up. Verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now I could put a commercial in there. Guys, when you see God define something as true, that means there's probably something in there that's false, right? Wednesday night crew, we just went over that again. If it says true holiness, that means there's a false holiness, isn't there?
Yes.
Thank you, Noah. It's on board there. Okay. That God says, listen, put on the new man, which is in God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. So here in Leviticus, when dealing with this total consecration offering, he requires that we put on some new clothes, meaning put off that old conversation and the lusts and all the things that come with the flesh. You want to get burned out? Try to serve God doing it in your flesh. Now, please understand something. This is a phrase that in my mind, I heard a preacher say it many times in counseling and different seminars that I had gone to that he had hosted. If the devil can't get you to do evil in the flesh, he will get you to do good in the flesh. But it's still in the flesh. If we depend upon our own strength and our own selves and think our flesh can do what God wants us to do, we're false. You got to put off the old man. That's why God doesn't want to make a better you. He says, brethren, be ye transformed. He doesn't want to make you a little bit better. He wants to completely change you. So again, here's the deal. He says, as you're offering this offering, in verse 9 or verse 10, it says, and the priest shall put on his linen garments. So if you're going to be totally consecrated to the Lord, you got to put on some nice clean garments. And I want you to notice this is an active situation, because in the next verse it says, and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments. So even in the midst of giving this offering, he's going to get his clothes dirty, isn't he? So you're going to go ahead, Lord, I'm totally consecrating myself to you. Good, that means that Craig Fisher, pastor of Bethel Bible Church, because he has totally consecrated himself to the Lord, will never sin again. Of course not. And God right here in the midst of this offering says, put on some clean clothes. And then when you're done giving the offering, you're probably going to have to put on some more clean clothes, because you're going to get dirty. You remember one of the sacraments that some churches do that we do not, we believe the two that the Lord had really established clearly were baptism and the Lord's Supper. But one of them is foot washing. Some churches still do that. You remember what foot washing is about, right? That if you have bunions, you're not going to heaven. Right? No. Okay? Foot washing is when you walk through this world, you're going to get dirty. So you need to clean up. And wait a minute, does that mean I have to get re-saved every time I go out and do a sin? No, remember what Peter said. Jesus said, I want to wash your feet. Peter said, well then wash all of me, Lord. And Jesus said, no, you don't need to have your whole self washed. He said, just wash your feet. Because you are clean because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes when we walk through this world, we may get a little soiled, right? When you and I spend some time out there in the flesh, sometimes you get dirty. Well, here, as a part of this offering, it was important that they kept changing their clothes. Okay? We want to make sure we are living in the righteousness of the saints that we get through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, please keep this in your mind, though. This is something that you and I don't get holy by what we do. Okay? Colossians says, as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, so walk ye in him. Did you guys do anything to get the righteousness of God at salvation? Did I? Okay. I just accepted the free offering that Jesus offered to me, and he made me righteous. Well, sometimes we get this idea in our Christian walk that all of a sudden, okay, so I'm saved, he's forgiven me, I'm clean in his sight, but from this point forward, I've got to work hard to keep myself in his righteousness. No. His righteousness is still given to us no matter what. If I sin tomorrow, I don't go, oh man, I just messed up Jesus' righteousness for the rest of my life. No. As you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, so walk ye in him. I don't do a thing to get righteous before God. He made me righteous. The job that I need to do is put off the old dirty stuff and walk in the righteousness which he's given to me. It's a choice. That's why I can choose to walk in the flesh, or I can choose to walk in the spirit. If I would just put away that old flesh, God gives me the ability to be righteous before him. My problem is I get out there like an old sow in the pen and start wallowing around in the mud. We have the ability to walk in the righteousness of God, but that takes taking off the old clothes and walking in that fine light white linen, clean, like he's given to us. You want to not get burned out? Consecrate your life. Change your clothes. But I'll tell you one thing. One of the times where I want to get burned out the most is when I know I'm not living for the Lord. And you want to step up and live better for the Lord, but you know you've been messing up for years. And I've seen this in Christians for a long time. They will come and say, well, you know, I got saved a long time ago. God dealt with my heart. But, you know, I haven't been living for him. And it's hard to get back into the groove, isn't it? That's why one of the ways you know people are struggling a lot of times is their attendance to church goes down. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. I'm ready. But I just got no motivation to do anything. And most of the time is because they haven't gotten their heart right with God. They haven't put off their old clothes. I don't know about you, I did a funeral on Saturday, and it was the first time ever that I sort of felt this way, that I did it for a reason. Let me give you a quick explanation to tell you why. Most of the time I wear a suit and tie and everything to a funeral because it's respect for the family. Well, the gentleman that I happened to be able to do this funeral from was a member of the Cheshireman barbershop group that I sing with. So I wore my Cheshireman shirt. Okay, it's a short sleeve button up. You know, we don't wear ties with it, and it has the big Cheshireman emblem on it. And so for the first time doing a funeral, I didn't wear a shirt and tie. And you know, when I first showed up, I felt like a heel. I felt like I was doing something wrong. But he had military honors. He had the Air Force there. He was part of the Masons, so he had the Masonic people there. They were all in their uniforms that brought them connection to him. I thought, I have my uniform on. That brings me connection with him. I have a personal relationship. But for the first time, I felt like I was wrong because I wasn't dressed up enough. Now, I'm just saying that. You ever had that feeling coming to church? That maybe this last week or something, you've been living for self, and you walk into the Lord's house and you realize that there's some things you need to deal with, that you've come into God's house and maybe you haven't put on the clean clothes. And I'm not talking about what you're actually wearing. I'm talking about in here, where he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, there are times, but you're the pastor. Yes, there are times where on a Sunday morning, I'm going to get ready to get up and preach and say, Lord, it's been a rough morning. I haven't been barely paying attention to you. I've had this to do and that to do, and I've had all the schedule, and I've got all my ducks in a row, but I haven't stopped enough to take the moment to really focus on you today. And I feel like I'm coming to church with dirty clothes on. And I have to take a minute to say, Lord, it's not about me. It's not about it. Please make your word come through clearly. Please have God's will be done through the preaching. And I get with God's people and I'm reminded, you know, the Lord moves without me or with me. Because it's not dependent upon me. So you want to be burned out? Keep wearing your nasty old dirty clothes. You want to stay on fire for God? Put on new clothes. It's amazing what happens. Yeah, I got so many illustrations running through my mind, I don't want to give any more. Okay, I'll give you one more. You know, sleep studies have been done. You know, people sleep much better when they're in clean sheets. I don't understand it. But they've proven it scientifically that if you have some old ratty sheets on your bed, you haven't washed in 3 or 4 weeks, the people are uncomfortable because of not being in clean sheets. You put nice new clean sheets on your bed, and you know it. You're more comfortable. I found that amazing when I read that the other day. I was like, seriously? You mean wearing old, nasty, dirty stuff around doesn't make you comfortable? You feel much better when you're nice and clean? I know some people can learn that lesson. Okay. But this is an active process. You put clean clothes on. You deal with the offering. You're probably going to have to put some more clean clothes on. Because I know when I got to go before God, even at the end of every day, I have to remind him that I got dirty today. So I got to put off the old and put on the new every single day. Notice he also says, take up the ashes and put them at the side of the altar. Ashes is a pretty cool thing in the Bible. And if we had a lot of time, we can do a more exhaustive study, but I'll leave that to you guys. But you understand that ashes is a picture that God accepted an offering? Okay, case in point again, we're burning wood in the wood stove, right? If I light that wood stove on fire and I go out working the yard or I'm running errands or whatever and I come home and I open that bottom door and there's not a bunch of ashes in there, you know what I know happened? The wood didn't burn. Right? Kind of obvious. If you open the door and there's hunks of wood there and no ashes, that means that the fire didn't do its job. Okay, ashes in the Bible is a picture that the offering was accepted. You want a case in point? Look at Elijah, right? With Mount Carmel, with the prophets of Baal. And they prayed for hours and hours for God to call down fire. And Elijah prays a 42-word prayer. And whoosh, everything was burnt up. The water, the stones, everything. God turned to ashes. It's a reminder that the offering was accepted. That the fire continued to burn. Now remember, we're talking about being burned out, right? Well, if you're going to be burned out, that means you got to have some ashes. If that fire continues to burn, that's one of the problems with my wood stove. If I keep stoking it, keep stoking it, keep stoking it, and I don't remove the ashes, all of a sudden I can't burn a fire anymore because it won't breathe. Ashes are a good sign. It means the fire is working. Pretty neat stuff here. Two things. If you look, if you would, to Psalm 20. Psalm 20. Now remember, there are two ways that God burns something to ashes in the Bible. This is just a side note for you. There is fire is used in two ways in God's word. Fire of purification and the fire of judgment. Okay, and remember he puts things through the fire and out, you know, the wood, hay, and stubble will get burnt up, but the gold, precious, you know, jewels will stay. He talks about that the purifying of pure gold where you scrape off the dross with fire. Or he talks about things like Sodom and Gomorrah getting turned into a pile of ashes because of his judgment. Okay, God uses ashes in two ways. He uses fire in two ways. One to purify us, or two to judge us. Okay, keep that in mind. Now look, if you would, to Psalm chapter 20. There's a neat thing here. And Dan used a couple of the old, couple of Greek words this morning. And sometimes it's good to be able to do that homework and look to the Greek. And this is one of those times where in the Hebrew, you get a very vivid picture of this. Psalm chapter 20, verse 3. Thou preventest him with blessings of goodness. That's 21, that's why. Okay, remember all thine offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Now again, amazing passage. Remember thy burnt offerings, accept them, Lord. But this here, this word accept, means to turn into ashes. That is the basis behind that word. So God here in Psalms is reminding us that ashes are a picture of God's acceptance of the burnt offering. If the offering didn't burn all the way up, then God didn't accept it. Okay, so this ashes picture in this thing, you want to keep from burning out, you got to be burnt up. You want another vivid picture of this? The Apostle Paul says, I die daily. Daily. And we'll keep going on that same thought. And then another part of this, we saw it a couple weeks ago where he says, take those ashes outside the camp. That they were supposed to be not just near the altar. But please keep that in mind. Remember how we've talked about how important it is that when you and I live our lives and offer offerings to God, that it's public. Even the ashes from this offering are dumped right in everyone's sight.